I'm really glad to be back with you. For some reason, my voice just went weak on me this morning. Maybe I was singing too hard or something, but so y'all bear with me. I'm going to try to struggle through. And I don't have a great big old long sermon. You might think that I just come back from the Holy Land. I've just got all kinds of stuff. Well, I do, but I'm not going to overload you this morning. I'm going to take several weeks to kind of work through that. And that's what I intend to do tonight. If you're not a regular tender of here on Sunday nights, let me encourage you to come. 6 o'clock Sunday nights, we're just going to kind of go through. I may show some pictures. I don't know exactly what I'm going to do yet. I may show some pictures and talk about some of the things that we saw and maybe some things that I would like to see us as a church do in the future. And so, y'all come. I want to ask you a question. What is the most sacred, tangible thing that you have or have access to? Maybe it's a place. Maybe it's a song. Maybe it's something. It needs to be tangible. Something you can kind of feel. I know a song maybe not be tangible, but you can hear it. Okay, I see somebody waving a Bible back there in the back. Maybe it's a place. Maybe you think, well, maybe it's a place or a piece of furniture or something maybe that your great-grandfather or grandmother gave you or you inherited or something like that. I want to ask you, what is the most sacred, tangible thing that you have access to? I want you to think about that and just let that, don't lose that, whatever that thing is, just kind of keep it in your mind for a minute. I want to tell you that while Rebecca and I were in Israel, we saw so many sights. Oh my goodness, we got there, we landed on a day, I don't even remember what day it was. It's 8 hours difference, so we left here on one day and landed there on another day, and coming back, it turned into a 28-hour, but it was still the same day, and I don't understand how all that happens, but it does. But we landed there, and we were kind of really excited. We were too excited to sleep or anything like that, so we kind of started walking around. We saw some things and some really cool things, but we saw so many things. We would get back to the hotel room at night, and Rebecca was journaling, so we wouldn't forget this stuff. The problem was, by the time we got back to the hotel room, we couldn't remember what all we saw that day. And so I started making notes on my phone while we were places. I saw this. We would get back, and we would have to read through our itinerary to find out. Oh, yeah, we went there, and we'd remember it, and we'd write it all down. And so we saw so many things. And we saw a lot of these sites, especially in Jerusalem, they were called holy sites. All right, the sites such as the places, a couple different places that they suspect may have been the actual burial site of Jesus Christ, the burial and resurrection, maybe the crucifixion site. There's a couple different thoughts on that. The Mount of Olives, the Garden of Gethsemane, all these holy sites, sacred sites, and almost every one of them had a church built over top of this site. So when I thought in my mind, well, I'm going to go and I'm going to see this spot, when I get there, what I see is a church. Cover it up, erect it over top of it. And the truth is, when we got to thinking about these holy sites, and we got to looking at it, well, it didn't look all that holy. It had been all covered up, had rocks. I mean, the rocks were old. Rocks were 2,000 years old, I guess. But, had all this stuff and fenced off and just decoration and ornate stuff all over it, and it was pretty, and it was kind of, to say, well, that was the rock where Jesus knelt when he prayed in the garden. I get that, and but it didn't look that holy to me. It wasn't like what I thought it was going to be. And I'm still glad I went, but all these sites, they look more like shrines, what I would consider a shrine. Have you ever seen the pictures of the people that climb Mount Everest, and along the way, the guys, I can't remember what they're called, the Sherpas, they have these little shrines built all along the way, and there's ribbons flying and stuff flying all through the air, and you kind of, if you can zoom out and see it, it just looks kind of like trash, but they're sites, and they're sacred to them, and they're shrines and all that. It's kind of what it looked like. It looked kind of strange. We went to the Wailing Wall, the western wall of the temple, the birthplace of Jesus Christ there in Bethlehem, the tomb, the two different tombs, the crucifixion sites, places around the Sea of Galilee where Jesus performed the miracles, where we were in Cana, where he turned the water into wine, and where he, on the Sea of Galilee, where he walked on water and broke the bread and the loaves into and fed 5,000 people with just a little lunch sack lunch, and we saw all that stuff. But again, while we were standing and walking on this same ground where Jesus stood and walked, didn't look anything like it did back then, because now they had these shrines built everywhere, and that was something I wasn't quite prepared for. I want to tell you that there's nothing wrong with honoring those things that point to Christ. Okay? Remember what I said for you to think about a while ago? What is the most sacred thing you have, or maybe place you have access to? There's nothing wrong with honoring those things or places that point to Jesus Christ. However, the problem comes when those things become the object of our worship. Okay? We've been talking about, I haven't been here in a couple of weeks, but before I left, we were talking about worship. We're still talking about worship, folks. We might as well, because we're going to be doing it for a really long time. Yeah. If you're a child of God, you've received Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you're going to be worshiping for all of eternity. We might as well get good at it. We might as well get practiced up. We might as well begin to understand what it really is. And when I think about these places and these sites that we went to, these shrines, they turned into the object of worship. I mean, there were people, you could see people of all different kind of faiths. They were around all these different sites, some of the same sites for different reasons. It gets really complicated when that happens. But they were worshiping these sites, and I began to think about that. I thought, you know, wow, I don't think this is what Christ really intended. And I can tell you why in just a second. These things could become the object of our worship. It might be a song. Maybe it's an old hymn that you've had in your mind for a long time. It's really special to you, and yet that song becomes something that's sacred to you. Maybe it's a new song. Maybe it's one of these songs you hear on KSBJ, and it just touches your heart, and it becomes sacred to you, and you begin to really concentrate and focus on that song. Maybe it's a tradition. Maybe it's an action. Maybe it's a location, a little trinket, or maybe some other thing. However, in Exodus chapter 20, I'm going to read to you something that's very familiar. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 3 and then 4, it says, "You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who keep me and my commandments." And I have to think it about, oh my goodness, have we made some things idols? Maybe it's a great song. The idea of the song is to point to Jesus Christ, and that's the one who is supposed to receive our worship, but we just really like the song. Maybe it's the singer. Okay? Maybe it's this special thing. Maybe it's... Folks, listen, this Bible is special. This Bible is sacred. Okay? But if I worship the Bible without worshiping the author of the Bible, I'm wrong. Then the Bible has become an idol to me. Maybe it's the King James Version. Or maybe the New International Version, the New American Standard Version, or the English Standard Version, or the, you know, there's a whole bunch of different ones. It doesn't matter. These are not the object of our worship. They point to the object of our worship. This is also affirmed in Matthew chapter 17, when Jesus went up on the mountain and was being transfigured, let me just read this. It was Matthew chapter 17, beginning in verse 1. It says, "After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up high on a mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as the light. Just then, there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus." Wouldn't that be something to see? Wouldn't that be something? I'm going to see that one day. You know why I'm going to see that one day? Because I'm going to heaven. Amen. You know why I'm going to heaven? Not because of what I've done, but because of what Jesus Christ, the one I worship, because of what he's done for me. Just what did he do? I'm getting off my notes here. What Jesus Christ did, what did he do for me? He looked down and he saw and he knew that I was going to be a sinner. He looked down and he said, of all these people, Michael Nix is going to be a sinner. I know that because he's just, I know what he's going to be doing. He knows that kind of stuff. He knows the number of hairs on my head or lack thereof. Okay? And he knows me better than I know myself. And he said, I love that man. I love that boy. And I don't want him to be separated from me because in his word he says, if you sin, the penalty of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. He said, so I'm going to tell you what. Because I've set my law, this is what God said. He said, because I set my law that if you sin, if you do anything wrong, the punishment is death. And what that means is the punishment is eternal hell, eternal damnation in hell. And he said, I love him too much. I want to give him an opportunity, but I can't break my word. He cannot physically make a sacrifice to atone for his own sins. I can't do that. You can't do that. You can't make a sacrifice big enough to cover your sins because you're not perfect. You're already tainted. God doesn't want a tainted offering to cover a tainted person. So he said, I'm going to offer myself. He sent Jesus Christ, his very own, his only begotten son, sent him to the earth to be born in as a baby and to raise up, lead a sinless life, to be that perfect example for us. Because he claimed to be God, which he was, the Jews, they had him tried to be executed. The Romans executed him. They hung him on a cross. They buried him in a tomb. And it's because of that death that Jesus took. That was the sacrifice for God, for you and me. We get to apply that sacrifice to you and me. But then God raised him up on the third day to show that he had power over sin and over death. And Jesus has arisen. He's ascended to the heavens and he's now with the Father where he prays for you and me. Here's the deal. Here's the ticket, folks. You can't claim that promise unless you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and what he did. There's a caveat to that. You don't just get to say, well, Jesus died for everybody, so everybody gets to go to heaven. That's not true. Bible doesn't say that. Bible tells us that only those who put their faith and their trust in him as their Lord and as their Savior, give their lives to them, they are children of God. I don't even know where I was. Oh, I'm back in Matthew. I wasn't through reading. Okay. While we were still speaking, verse 5, while he was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my Son whom I love, and with him I am well pleased. Listen to him. This was the voice of God. Said, listen to him. Who was God speaking to? To those disciples, Peter, James, and John. He said, listen to him. He's my son, and I'm pleased with him. You listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. Get up. Don't be afraid. When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. When they're coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, don't tell anyone what you've seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. But back, I'm going to back up because I skipped a verse. This is important. When the disciples saw, in verse 4, when the disciples saw Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus, Peter said to Jesus, this is the verse, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And then the voice of God said, this is my son whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. You see, here's the deal. Peter, James, and John, they saw something that was extra super special, right? In another version, if you have the New American Standard Version, it says, instead of shelters, it says tabernacles. Okay, Peter wanted to build, I mean, he was trying to be good. He was trying to do the right thing. He said, you know what? Let's build these 3 tabernacles. Let's build these little houses of worship. Let's build these altars. And we can always remember this. We can always come back to this and worship and worship. And God said, hang on, wait a minute, boys. This is my son. I'm pleased with him. You listen to him. All right? So here's the deal. Even back then, in the time of Jesus, people wanted to make shrines, make these little tabernacles, make these little churches and worship because it was a holy place on top of this mountain where Jesus was transfigured. But Jesus said, hold on, wait a minute. That's not what it's about. It's not about worshiping this place. It's not about worshiping this spot. It's not touching these rocks that are you call holy because this is where this event happened. It's not about that. It's about me. It's about me. Get up. Don't be afraid. I've got business to do. Peter wanted to build these houses of worship, but God wanted Peter to listen to Jesus. The same is still true today, folks. We may want to hold these things as sacred or hold these things as holy. Remember that thing that I had you remember or think about in your mind? We want to honor these things, and that's okay. That's good to do that. But when we begin to worship these, God wants us to, like he reminded Peter, he wants to tell us, hold on, wait a minute. This is my son with whom I'm well pleased. Listen to his words. God affirmed that Jesus was his son. And when we really understand that, when we really get that, then worship becomes natural. Worship is a natural outflow of that revelation when we understand just who Jesus Christ is and what he has done and why he did it. We need to worship the Creator, not the creation. And that scripture too, if you turn to Romans chapter 1, this is going to be the last scripture I'm going to have to get to turn to. Romans chapter 1. Where am I going to start? I'm just going to start in verse 18. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. Okay? It goes on. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over to their sinful desires of their hearts, to sexual impurities, for the degrading of their bodies with one another. Listen, they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen? This is the same thing. Same thing. These sites that I saw, I think God was telling me, you know, yes, this is where this happened. You traveled halfway around the world to see this stuff. Take a good look at it. But don't you worship that. You worship what happened there. You worship the person who was crucified there. You worship the person who stepped out of that tomb. You worship the person who knelt down on that rock. Don't you worship that rock. You worship the Creator, not the creation. And I think that if we, now think back to those, that whatever it is I had you think about at the first. The same is true for that. Whatever that was, if it's a creation, it's something that's created by man, because I remember I told you to think of something tangible. Something you could touch, feel, hear, sense, all that kind of stuff. God would tell you, that's okay to take that and honor that if it points to Jesus Christ. But don't worship that. Don't let that become the object of your worship. Let it point to Jesus Christ and you worship him. That's what worship, it's the only person worship is reserved for. We watched as people went to the Western Wall, called the Wailing Wall. It's called the Wailing Wall because the temple that was the second temple that was destroyed in 70 AD, all of it was knocked down except these two layers of rocks. I mean, they're big blocks, you know, about this tall. So there's two layers of them. It's about this high. And all the rocks and the walls above that of the temple wall, and it's really just the court around the temple, they were all knocked down by the Romans. Well, they've come back and they've rebuilt it, and so it's been reconstructed at the top, but the original two bottom layers are still there, and it's on the western side. Everything else is gone. Everything else of the temple is gone. There's the Dome of the Rock that's built on there, and now it's a Muslim holy site. But the Jews, they still go to this wall. I mean, Jews, Christians, all kinds of people still go to this wall, the Wailing Wall. And they'll go walk up to this wall. You have to cover your head and you have to follow special rules. You go up to this wall and people are praying and worshiping at this wall. But some of them are worshiping the wall. Here's why they call it the Wailing Wall. The Jews call it the Wailing Wall because they're wailing for the destruction of the temple. I learned that that's why they wear black a lot, because they're in mourning. They're in mourning because the temple is gone. It's almost as if the temple was the object of their worship. It's the only portion that still remains today, and that's where they go to pray. They write little prayers and they stick them in the cracks of the wall. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with going there and recognizing that this is a great archaeological, historical site, and a lot of good things happened here, and this was the wall of the retaining wall of the temple, and it's a great place, and to remember the splendor of the temple, that's great. But we don't worship the rocks. Think about that thing that I had you to think about again. I've reminded you several times today. I want to ask you a question. What if it was gone tomorrow? That thing that you hold sacred, near and dear to your heart, what if it was gone tomorrow? Then what? Could you still worship? Some of you may have said, well, this church, this building. What if this building, like the temple, what if they woke up one day and it was gone? It was just rubble. Could we still worship? Could we worship if we didn't have music anymore? Maybe music was sacred to you and holy. Could we still worship if we didn't have music? Whatever your favorite kind of music is, it doesn't matter. What if we didn't have it and you couldn't use it anymore to worship? Could we still worship? Could we worship if we didn't have a cross hanging somewhere? Could we worship if we didn't have the furniture that we have? Whether it be the chairs or the carpet or the, I don't know, the stool or the pulpit, the mic stands, the beautiful pots, maybe it's the paint on the outside. Whatever it is, if we didn't have it anymore, could you still worship? What if it was the Bible? Did you know that there are places in this world where this is illegal? You can't take it. Matter of fact, if they find the Bible on you, your life is in danger. What if we didn't have it anymore? What if somebody came in here and took away all the Bibles? Could we still worship without the Bible? If it were all gone tomorrow, every bit of it, what if it were all gone tomorrow? Could we still gather and worship? I would say yes, and here's why. Because I'm not worshiping that Bible. It's great. It is. It's holy. It's the Holy Bible. It's sacred. Okay, the words there are good words, but it's not the pages and the ink that I worship and celebrate. I go straight to the author of the word. That's who I worship and who I celebrate. What is the center? What is the focus? Who is the recipient, or what is the recipient of your worship? And my friends, I will tell you this. Without Jesus Christ, you don't have a center, a true center of worship. Do you have a reason to worship? Maybe that's a better question. Do you have a reason to worship? Because it very well may be that you don't know Jesus Christ like I know Jesus Christ. It may very well be that you've never put your faith and your trust in Him, and you just really don't have a reason to worship. The best reason you have to worship is your paycheck. The best reason you have to worship is your spouse. The best reason you have to worship is your children. The best reason you have to worship is, I don't know, an Astros game or a Spurs game or something, a football team. I don't know. But without Jesus Christ, that's as good as it gets, folks. And I'll tell you, when this whole place is destroyed like that temple was, and everything's a bunch of rubble, I'm talking about the whole earth, and we find ourselves standing in front of a God of judgment, and you don't know Jesus Christ, I don't want to be you. I have a reason to worship. I have a reason to worship. Without Jesus, you have no reason. And I just want to tell you today, you don't have to go out of here not having a reason to worship. You don't have to walk out of here and go on your merry way and go, wow, you know what? If all those things that I love and hold sacred near and dear to my heart, if they were all gone, I don't know what I would do. You don't have to do that. You could say, you know what? Even if all those things that I thought about, even if all they were gone, I could still worship my Jesus Christ, because I'm going to be doing that for all of eternity, because I'm a child of His. That's the only reason to worship. That's the only reason to worship. Because of what He's done for you and for me. And if you've not received that, folks, good luck. Good luck finding something that'll compare, because you're not going to find it. You're not going to find it. And it's not going to last. Faith in Jesus Christ is the only thing that's going to last and stand the test of time. That's where I'm going to stay. I'm going to make the decision to stay there. Keep my faith and my trust in Jesus Christ. I'm going to worship Him. I'm not going to worship the songs. I'm going to use the songs to worship. I'm going to use the Word to worship. I'm going to use the building to worship. I'm not worshiping all that stuff. I'm worshiping the Creator. It's almost kind of like this. How many are you familiar with electricity? Anybody? Okay, some of it, you know, it can be bad for you. Too much can be bad. Okay. It's kind of like, and some of you guys may be able to go with me. When the electricity comes in off the high wire, and it comes down through the meter pole and comes through the meter, okay? Well, you can pull that meter and you don't have any electricity downstream from there, right? Okay, well, the meter goes in. Meter comes in, it goes to a breaker box. Okay, and what that means is that when the electricity comes in, it gets distributed through all these different breakers. And if you are going to be working on a ceiling fan or a light switch somewhere, you go find the appropriate breaker, you switch that breaker off. That way you don't get electrocuted, right? Okay, so there's a breaker in line. You got the meter, you got a breaker, and then you get the, like if it's a light switch, the wire comes and it goes up through this switch, then it goes up to the light fixture. Well, you can come and you can break the electricity right there at the switch too, right? Sometimes we feel like as the light bulb, to get to the source, we have to go through a switch. We have to swing around here and go through this conduit. We have to go through the breaker box and make sure the breakers are on. Then we have to go through the meter, make sure it's running right before we get to the source. But that is wrong. That's what I saw was this. I saw people worshiping at this site, and they were thinking maybe like, well, that's the switch. I have to get through there and hope that the next switch is on so God will hear me or heal my prayer. And if I do this right, that's not true, folks. You get to bypass all of that stuff. You get to go straight to the source. You get to go straight to God and speak with Him. He's our friend. He's our friend. We talked about earlier, He's our Abba Father. He's our Daddy God. That's what He is. That's not all He is. He's also a God of wrath. He's also a just God. He's also a jealous God. He's a God of love. He's a God of mercy. He is all of that. But He loves you. He loves you more than anybody on this earth ever could or ever would. What are you doing back to Him? What are you doing back to Him, the one that loves you more than anybody else could? Do you love Him back? Do you love Him back that much? Do you worship Him? Do you honor Him? That's where we are. That's the question for us today. Do we worship? What do we worship? Why do we worship? The answer is Jesus. The answer to all of it is Jesus Christ. But if you don't know Him, you can't even do that. You can't even do that. Don't leave here today without knowing Him. If you're not sure, you just come talk to me. When we're going to stand up in just a second, I'm going to just be standing here. Rebecca's going to be here. If you're a lady and you would like to speak to her, you come and talk to her. But if you're not sure about something, you come and ask the question. I can't guarantee you that I'll know the answer, but I can guarantee you we'll search for it, and we'll see what we can find, and we'll look for the truth, all right? But don't leave here unchanged. Don't leave here the way you walked in, especially if you don't know Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, the Bible, this one that I study and the one that I read, tells me that He is the only way to the Father. You're not going to find a different way. Where are you today? Where are you today? Let's stand. We're going to sing a song. We're not going to tarry long. We're not going to be here forever. But I'll give you an opportunity to respond to what the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. I'm not going to tell you if you've heard the Holy Spirit or if the Holy Spirit has spoken, because I'm telling you, He's speaking. The question is, are you hearing it? And then the question is, if you've heard it, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to take it out of here and say, nope, never again. I'm not doing it again. Or not this time, again. Oh, don't let that be you. Answer and respond today as we sing.